Diver's Sink is a weekly netcast where we talk about the world of scuba diving, fantastic diving opportunities, and some of the happenings in the underwater world. We also provide tips and discussions about scuba diving and get excited about upcoming dives and adventures. Learn how you can join us on our dives and become part of the program by following Diver's Sink on Facebook and Twitter or by visiting our website at www.diverssink.com.
Hello and welcome to Diver's Sink, the netcast and podcast for scuba divers. My name's Rich Sinowick, and you are listening to season 10, episode 36, recorded on September 2nd, 2020. And it is 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're in my truck, and I am headed for Hammond, Indiana, to dive with Double Action Charters, and guys from Dive Right In Scuba, and reminded me that it's time to go. And I'm going to start by apologizing. There's a technical glitch in the podcast, and I have to reboot. What I did was I did an update, and it didn't work. So I've been doing podcasts, a couple weeks ago I said, well, I'll just roll right into it, and It's an easy fix, but it's a time-consuming fix, and I haven't had the time to do it because, as my dad would say, I'm gallivanting around the country. I'm just gallivanting around the lower Great Lakes the Great Lakes right now to head to Lake Michigan, I'm sworn to secrecy prior to the event, but seeing that I'm probably not going to have this up anytime in the next week or two. I think it's safe to say that I will tell you all about what I'm going to do and then probably tell you all about it afterwards as well. I hope we get out. So this past weekend was Milwaukee. And Milwaukee, this past weekend we were supposed to have a double charter. And what we had was we had a charter out of Milwaukee, which had been planned for months, almost a year. And then we had a charter out of Port Sanilac, which was to make up for one that had been blown out. And the one that had been blown out was in August, at the beginning of August, but then we said, hey, we've got a free date, let's go in the end of August. So it was like kind of a plan C, because we tried to make plan B work, but the weather didn't work. Plan C is going to be this one, and we have another plan. When we altered it, we have another plan C. So, this weekend we had a group going out of Hammond, Indiana, like where I'm headed right now, and we had a group that went out of Milwaukee. Well, the weekend out of Milwaukee, great weekend, great people, we ate too much, we drank too much because we got blown out, both Saturday and Sunday, huge waves, and big winds, and unfortunately, it's the first full weekend that I've been blown out this year, and unfortunately, it's probably going to be the last full weekend that I get blown out this year, I hope so. I only have one more weekend, so we'll see. It's September is always a crapshoot for weather. Today's weather looks good, which is why I'm headed that way. I'll tell you what I'm going to dive. I'm just going to kind of tease you with it for a little while. But the Hammond trip went out this weekend, but our Milwaukee trip didn't. So at the last minute, we decided that we are going to go to Hay Quarry. Now, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Is it Hay or Hi, Hague? But it's Hay Quarry, and it's in northern Illinois. And I think it's HayQuarry.com. And it was my first time there, and I had heard about it for decades. And I'm going to tell you, it was really a pretty well-laid-out area. They have... it's about the same size as White Star, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe closer to Portage. And it had an 80-foot hole that's on the far side. And I really want to go back there when it's cold. because the water temperature was 80 degrees and it was that murky pea soup. And it was literally, you put your face in the water and you couldn't see. So you're on the surface and your mask looks fine. It's all cleared. You're ready to go diving. And the first thing you see when you put your face in the water was as if it instantly fogged up. Now it didn't, but you really wanted, I had the distinct impression that I needed to clear the fog from my mask when I saw it. Well, that was not encouraging. We could see about 3 to 5 feet. Everybody had a light and everybody had a plan. We were just going to drop down the wall, keep the wall to our right hand side. We were going to head down the wall and back up the wall and see how we did. Well, I know that with thermoclines and my experience that this pea soup fog doesn't last past a thermocline, and it usually doesn't. And in this case, it didn't. So we get down to about 40 feet. And it cleared up so I could turn around and I could see all four people that were with me. And it was a little bit brisk. It was in the mid 60s right there. And we had dove light undergarments because it was so bloody hot on the surface. And we went out quite a bit, probably about 40 minutes, and turned around I found a spot that was a little bit deeper. So I said, you know what? It was at about 40 feet, there was this foggy mess, and it was not deeper underneath the foggy mess. So I stayed up. It was about 48 feet, 49 feet total. And I got down to about 45 feet, and it was this sulfury, yucky mess. So then when we got out and I felt that it was out, we were out far enough that I could make a decision to go deeper, I started working myself deeper. My buddy said that my lights just got swallowed up. But they knew the deal. We were going to plan along the wall. I was still following the wall, but I went down to about 65 feet, and at 65, 70 feet, it cleared up again. But it was like a night dive. It was like Cooper River, black as black can be. But it was a neat dive. So I went and I noticed that at that point, nobody was behind me. So I looked up, I couldn't see anything. I just kind of kept going. So I stopped and went up a bit, went back to the wall, kind of grouped and up, and we all went up and we regrouped. And then we swam over to, because we were all the way out there. We'd actually passed the deep hole. And so we went back to the deep hole, dropped down, and the visibility at the bottom at 81 feet, that's how deep it is. At 81 feet, the visibility was black as Satan's colon, and really, really dark, but it was really clear. So that was kind of cool. It was like a pit, though. As we dropped down to that, and I told everybody we'll navigate south to get to the wall, and we got to the wall, and then a couple feet down the wall, it distinctly turned hard to the right. So I'd hit a submerged wall, so another pit, another hole. I went up over that and then went back to the southing and then got on the wall and went back. It was a pretty neat day. We did about an hour-long dive. It was well worth doing, and it was a little bit more expensive than White Star. It's $25. They didn't have flush toilets, so White Star wins there. But all in all, it was really a good thing. And there was a demos days going on. I mean, we're all sitting there in our Prism 2s, but there's a demo days from DiveSoft. They had their rebreathers out there, and they had their, but we all went over there because some of us were having problems with just minor things with the their analyzer. Now, they got one of the best analyzers, in my opinion, on the planet. They got a fantastic analyzer, and I'm pretty darn happy with mine, but over the year or two that I've been a dealer, there's been a couple of people who have gotten them in with a minor thing wrong. So like one guy had a quick disconnect that was not blowing air the way that it should. Another guy had a voltmeter that wasn't quite working, and I had an ohm meter that wasn't quite working. So over the course of the year, I just kept switching out the stuff that they had broken with mine, because I knew that I could be inconvenienced more because I have better resources than most. So the idea is that here's these guys. One of the guys was complaining that his screen was going dark, and I said, here's the guy. I mean, this is the guy, the distributor, the boss, the owner of DiveSoft was standing at the booth there, I mean, an American distributor. I don't know if he's the owner of DiveSoft, but he's an American distributor of DiveSoft, Czech guy named Matt. And he was so accommodating. It was a pleasure to watch. It was, I mean, he took care of my customer. He went down he apologized for the inconvenience. He tried to fix it there, but then said it would be about a 2-week turnaround if he could live without it. And he says, yeah, I got all these guys. Everybody's got one. So we could just borrow, beg, borrow, steal. And then I mentioned mine, and he swapped out everything the same way I swap out everything. He reached into his kit and brought out his. He said, these sometimes don't work. Here you go. Here's another set. Here's another one right here. Everything's great. Let's go ahead and move on. And everything was great. So I mean, kudos to that kind of customer service. I have seen that kind of customer service from Hollis. I've seen that kind of customer service from Tusa. But it was the first time I'd seen that kind of customer service from DiveSoft, and I really did enjoy that. So we'll take it. And but the event, it was really neat. I saw some friends. Everywhere I go, I tend to meet people. But I saw some friends there, and the place was incredibly pink. I mean, their key logo mascot are flamingos, and so like the interior of a blue building was bright. That, well, I don't know, for anybody that's in their 50s, that detention, whenever you got put in detention, the detention pink, the calming pink, the pink that's supposed to calm you down and get you going when you're in detention in high school. Not that I was ever in detention. Yeah, I was quite a bit. So anyway, so that's what we're doing during COVID. So the problems that I'm having, I mean, everyone has a different approach to this whole pandemic. Obviously, you guys haven't listened to anything. I mean, I'm really sorry that you're going to get caught up. Now, all you guys that are complaining because it was a 10-minute podcast, now you got probably about an hour and a half of podcast to go through. I am going to make it a priority tomorrow night. That's kind of on my schedule. I don't have anything going, but it's a priority tomorrow night to get this podcast at least back up and running for a few of the podcasts, because it's just, it's a matter of dialing it in, and yeah, never mind getting technical in it, but it's a pause that I've had. I hope you guys come back to it. I hope you're excited about it, but I'm going to tell you that this pandemic's been something that's always been the next crisis. That's kind of what I'm doing. It's everything is to the next crisis, and usually it's not my crisis. It's usually just a problem that I have to solve, similar to we got blown out and we have to go somewhere, or we have got blown out and we have to put a new charter together, or we want to sit down and have another charter that we can go and do. I'd like to get another charter in this year, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually have one more charter, but it might be something like Bonterre Mine or Morehead City. Morehead City is a little bit far for what I'm doing, but in what I saw in St. Louis and Indiana, their COVID protocols are a little bit easier to deal with. I mean, I hope that everybody's staying healthy. I'm mentally a little bit distraught, but other than that, we're the company's real healthy, the people are real healthy, knock on wood, touch wood. But I don't know if anybody out there that's a Patty guy, but throughout this pandemic, Patty has been pretty darn supportive. They've been doing the same thing. They've been having to deal from crisis to crisis. They're under California law, so all the people around the country that work for Patty have to adhere to California law when it comes to employees and the way that things are going. So there's a little bit more of a frustration because they're a lot more locked down than most. But they've been really good about the continuing education. They've been really good about the videos and the webinars that they can do. I've been too busy to go through the webinars. We have been slammed. And I actually I'm overstaffed by 2, and I probably could, I mean, if we weren't going into the fall, I would probably hire one more. But I've got my last one just came back from college and just came to college. She's moved from college. She's been working the quarry all summer. So she's going through a 2-week quarantine to make sure that moving back to school didn't get her sick. And then she'll bring back, we'll bring her into the staff again. So, but on the other side, Patty has done a pretty decent job. Now, they're not clamoring to give discounts, which I'm glad. They're not clamoring to do that because they really have done a pretty good job. And there's a couple of industry professional level Facebook groups that I belong to. And they're groups that are specific for dive store owners. Dive store owners and managers are all that's allowed on it. And there's people that are on there bitching about all sorts of things. Insurance, they're bitching about, and there's always a hiccup, but there's always something. They're bitching about this, and they're bitching about that, and it's just tired of bitching. And I want to scream at them, look, if this is this much of a problem, time to switch jobs. And that brought, because I'd been driving a lot, that brought a little bit of insight into this. This might be the time that people have to quit being a diver, quit being a dive shop owner. This might be a good time to reevaluate. And I'm not saying if you're not teaching a lot right now, if you're not diving local, if you're not doing a ton of continuing education, it might be an opportunity for you to step back and see if your business model is sustainable. I was talking to 3 o'clock in the morning yesterday, my text pings because I have friends all over the world, and one of my friends on the other side of the world needed to rant. And so he got on our group one of the groups that we have in a messenger, and he starts ranting about how effed the rest of the world is, or how effed he is. And I was like, aren't you doing any local stuff and all that? Well, he said his business model is almost 90% tourism and nobody's coming. And then there was another one that had 100% tourism and no one's coming. And I'm like, well, that's a poor business model. Because granted, if you have 100% tourism, you've got to look at anything that you're doing as if that segment will shut down. So for me personally, I have 40 or 50 different segments, and I have to say that facetiously, but in my dive business, I have a instructor development segment. I have an open circuit technical diving segment. I have, within that, I have Trimix and Nitrox, and then I have the different levels, and then I have the rebreathers, and then I have the different levels. And then I have open water beginner students, which is probably the most important of my segments. But I also have, from that, a complete continuing education program plus a whole lot of specialties. So I'm pretty diversified when it comes to diving. As far as product is concerned, I'm really diversified in the fact that I've got everything that anybody needs spread all over the board, but I'm not beholden to one. I'm not beholden to Scuba Pro. I'm not beholden to Oceanic. I'm not beholden to anybody. I'm just, hey, here's how this works. So for me, I've always lived my life or run my business, say, okay, what if rebreathers were not available suddenly? What if I had to go, let's say Hollis went out of business. So if Hollis went out of business or the Prism 2 suddenly wasn't available, I don't foresee that anyway, I would have to pick a different unit, become trained in a different unit, become experienced in a different unit to be able to teach a different unit, and it would become a big, huge, giant thing. If same thing goes, if I had to dump Patty, I would have to try and build myself up to the reputation that I have. So if I lost that section, how much inventory would I lose? Inventory sales would I lose? That sort of thing. And you need to look at it from that standpoint. You need to look at it from a business. Okay, what if I lost all of my open water students? Now, thank God I haven't yet. But we're down probably 60% for the number of open water students that we would have normally had at this time certified. So with that being said, if I lost that, what do I have? Well, I have a real robust Con Ed. And so with a real robust Con Ed, that can carry me through the tough times that an open water would do. Now, the problem with open water is you need to have a pipeline and you need to have people in it. And that's what that is. But that's neither here nor there. That's just kind of how to look at it. So I look at it where if I lost, Trimix was a big deal. So if I lost all my Trimix business because helium stopped being available, how much business would I need? Now, none of those are crippling to my business. They would be inconvenient, but none of them are crippling. And that's where the business models that some of these organizations have. And I get it. If you're in a tourist destination, you're going to be 100% tourism. But there are other things that you can do to diversify. And if you don't do that, it's a business model that could be rendered unsustainable by a global pandemic or a travel ban or a war or another 9/11. If 9/11 didn't teach us anything, it meant that we would have to be able to recover without income for at least a couple weeks. Now, I was able to do that, but and thank God that the income came back, at least partially. But I am glad that I have diversified to the point. I mean, I'm even going to diversify more in that I think that there needs to be more of a product offering for me anyway on our website. Because if in a global pandemic, I'm kind of looking at next year that we get shut down for 2 months in the spring. And we'll see what happens. But I think that that is where this is all going. That if they don't have a cure for this, or if, God forbid, another virus rears its ugly head, then what's going to happen is we're going to be shut down. I am at a toll booth, so give me a second. I got to pull my ticket. I'm getting on the expressway, on the tollway. All right, cool. Real easy. easy lemon squeezy. Sorry. But that's kind of one of the next kind of look-see that I have. And that's a huge thing. I mean, I can't even squeeze in edgewise what I need to do to fix this podcast. And yet, I want to go and rebuild it comes down to you just got to take a deep breath and jump into it. The last time I was this far behind, what I had to do was I had to start going into work at 3 o'clock in the morning until it was all over. And I say that facetiously, but it is, got to get in there at least 2 or 3 hours early every morning in order to get dialed in for a day of stuff. I mean, we've been having a lot of customers. And whether or not, excuse me, I'm taking drinks of coffee as I go through this. We've been having a lot of customers, which is great. And we've had a lot of new customers, which is great. And we've had a lot of people that have come in to talk about next year, and I'm starting to look at next year. I'm starting to look at a life beyond COVID, but I'm also looking at it on a different standpoint of let's look back and see what this is all about. So I that's a rant. Sorry, it's a little bit of a rant. I actually I wrote a letter to an industry here because this industry guy, and I'll leave it nameless, but they were sending out all of this stuff about how we are all in this together and how we need to be forward and we need to be focused and all that. And the whole letter or series of a series of blog posts screamed that they weren't diving. And that's kind of what my thing is. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have been diving. Or at least you're immersing yourself into the idea of diving. But what I'm saying is there's a shit ton of opportunities for you to dive locally. Now, it may be a mud hole inland lake. But even a mud hole inland lake getting underwater is better than not diving. Even a pool in your neighbor's backyard is better than not diving. But this is where the training that I offer at Divers Incorporated has told. Because what we've got is we've got a group of people that no matter where I decide to go diving, there are customers that will come with me. And I have a customer that if we want to do a 5-hour drive, we can go to her backyard. She says she's got a small lake that's a bottomless pit. It's an old quarry or something. So we want to go try that someday. Within 10 hours, there's 5 or 6 dive sites that are actually open professional dive sites. There's quarries. There's, there's 5 or 6 or 7 quarries within 10 hours of me. Now, 10-hour drive, that's a weekend. I get it. But I can't imagine that with the amount of reservoirs, with the amount of freshwater lakes, with the amount of that you're even in a remote desert, even if you're in the deserts in California, that you couldn't drive somewhere that there would be water that you could dive. I mean, if you're in LA, yeah, you're all locked down, but you can still go out to the store, right? You don't have to stay in the thing. And at this point, we're 6 months into it. We're 185 days into this damn thing. I think it's time that you can start questioning the authority about it. Now, if you're scared of it, stay home. I've preached that for everything. I've had people who have signed up for charters and then found out that the charters are in a place that don't require masks, a state that don't require masks, or an area that doesn't require masks, or the charter boat's not requiring masks, fill in the blank there. But when you're looking at that, they can cancel and get their money back. And that's kind of the way that I've approached this. That's not going to be the way that I have to approach this next year. I can only bleed cash for so long. But it has come to be a pretty good model that at least is working for me. So let's talk about the future a little bit. I've got trips. I'm going to go to Bonterre Mine. We've got that coming up. We've got a trip to Morehead City. I've got a request to do a trip to the Straits. I've got a request to do a trip back to Alpena. Request to do Whitefish Point next year. I'm going to diversify out. We're going to go back to Milwaukee. I really want to get into the water at Milwaukee. I got one weekend in Milwaukee this year. I want to get another one for next year. At least one, maybe two. But there's a lot that I want to do. I'm going to probably double up my Sanilac charters, or at least increase my Sanilac charters, because those have gone. I'm not making a ton of money on the charters, so that's not a sustainable model. So as long as they go, I'm breaking even, but I'm not going to make, I couldn't make that the primary job. But it is important to me to keep people diving. And I think that next year also we want to diversify out into a couple more local areas. We have some pretty neat local lakes that have the potential, at least in the springtime, to be pretty good dives. And so I kind of want to do, I had a manager a couple years ago that had a project, but due to personal circumstances and a lot of bad decisions on his part, he couldn't get that project done. But it was one of those things where his goal was to find 20 dives within 20 minutes of our dive shop. I thought that was a little bit aggressive, but I think that if you went 20 dives within 3 hours of your dive shop, you probably could do it, at least in the state of Michigan or another lake state like Montana, South Dakota, that sort of thing. I also want to start looking at traveling more around the country through drive-in dives, simply because this whole pandemic has made it, I mean, we've been pretty good with drive-in dives up to this point, but I think that needs to be expanded to make sure that people are doing some diving, even if it's not necessarily the warm tropical fuzzy stuff. And then I got the warm tropical fuzzy stuff. We got a trip I haven't taken off the books yet to Utila. I've got a trip that we've got in February. I've got those going and got people that are at least talking about them. I've got a trip at Christmas. I've got people that are at least talking about them. So those are the ones that I am kind of excited about. So, excuse me, early morning and my throat's a little foggy. So anyway, this is a podcast that at least this one's going to be an episode that we get kind of up and running. I'm going to try to get everything dialed in, and I'll get at least the descriptions of all of them fixed by tomorrow, but I got to stop jumping around and doing too many things. So I could probably talk on this subject all day. If you are a dive shop owner and need a pep talk, feel free to reach out via the messenger. And I will promise that I'll get back to you in a timely manner, but I'll promise I'll get back to you. You can also call Divers Incorporated, website diversinc.com. You can look up the phone number. And I'd be happy to give you a chat. I'm happy to kind of help you analyze what you're doing and make it work. I mean, we're teaching everything from beginner to instructor to TriMix right now. And I just got two new instructors through the program. They're now ready to go diving. They're now certified. They've got numbers. They've got, we're just waiting for the paperwork to process on one of them and we're good to go. But I'm teaching in open water this weekend. All the way down, I'm teaching a Discover Scuba this weekend on the holiday. And then kind of looking forward to continuing down the road. I get my day off back starting next week. It's actually, today is technically my day off, but I've been working the quarry, and the quarry runs on Wednesdays through Labor Day. Well, I had not originally thought that this was going to run today. It's September, so I'm like, oh, it's September, so we don't have it. But it's before Labor Day, so I kind of screwed up when I scheduled this dive or agreed to this dive. So I have coverage for today, but it's the last time we're going to have to be open on a Wednesday. Now, I still got to go down on Wednesday to prep for the weekend, but at least I don't have to, I can get my office day back. That's the struggle. I usually have an office day, and in the winter time, what it was my office day up to January this year. My office day were the days that I worked at Monroe. So Monroe is a slower store, only one or two customers during the time period. So I could go pull, and I didn't open till 1, so I had a good solid half day to get paperwork. And I didn't realize how horrible it was when that was taken out. So now, COVID being set aside, looking at chinks in my armor, I need an office day again. And I get that starting next week. So, starting next week. I have appointments all day, but it's at least it's something that I can start moving down the road towards normalcy. So, I hope you're healthy. I hope everybody's good in your world. I hope that you've thought through how you would handle this if it were to happen again, because it's going to happen again. Depending on your political point of view, it's whether it's good or bad, depending on how much you hate this, if it's good or bad. But moving down, I think that it's been nice having every weekend diving since March, and I'm really looking forward to continuing that trend as we move through river diving season and then back into ice and cold water season. So until next week, or until you hear from me again, depending on how things go, I hope you're well, and we'll see ya.
Divers Sync is a cooperation between Divers Incorporated and Rich Sinowick Productions. You can listen live in the chat room or download archived past editions worldwide over the internet at diversync.com. Help us promote our netcast by telling your friends and dive buddies to tune in every week to Divers Sync and by helping them download past episodes. If you are making a purchase recommended on Divers Sync, you'd be doing us a huge favor by letting your supplier know that you are there because of the information you heard on our podcast. The opinions that you hear on Divers Sync are not necessarily those of any station, website, network, or advertisers. These netcasts are not intended to substitute for professional diver training. Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be attempted without the proper instructions, supervision, and training. Have any questions or comments? We'd love to hear from them via our website at diversync.com.